Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Ben Shapiro is joining us, one of my favorites. Smart, smart guy. You may disagree with him, but I wouldn't have an argument with the guy. He's up there. We're live in front of our San Antonio audience, and it's always a good show when we're live, and Ben Shapiro's up there with us as well. First, let me tell you about LifeLock 2019. Data breach of MGM Resorts impacted more than 142 million hotel guests. That's right, the hackers took the data, put it for sale on the dark web. Cybercrime marketplace, man. It's going for $2,900. That could be your information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. Put our info on the internet, and you're out there. Now, look, it's convenient. It's great. You're ordering things. You're ordering food. You're taking care of business. You're doing it all from the comfort and safety of your own home, but your info is out there. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hey, 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 this is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have. It's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
Live from Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, Ben Shapiro, with Paul Bryan on sound effects and Teresa Strasser filling in for news. Plus, we'll play a spirited round of Blah Blah Blog. And now, he can't wait to ask if Ben, as a Jew, would be offended if the Washington football team renamed themselves the Foreskins. Adam Carolla!
Oh, hey. Thanks for coming. I took the end of the mic stand with me. Let me fix that. Hey, thanks, you guys. Thanks, San Antonio. Appreciate that. Yeah, man. I just got off a plane. You want to talk about good luck? I was so we're going to fly out here from L.A. and we're going to leave LAX this morning about 8 a.m. and there's nothing direct into San Antonio, so we're going to have to fly into. We're going to fly into Austin, right? We're going to fly into Austin, and we're flying to Austin, and then we're going to drive to San Antonio, and we're going to fly southwest, right? So we're essentially just going to take a bus to Austin, and then we're going to rent a car, and then we're going to drive into San Antonio. And I came into my studio yesterday at about noon because I was getting ready to do a podcast with attorney Mark Garagus. And Mark Garagus is sitting on my sofa and he goes, "Are you going to Texas?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "When are you going?" And we go, "We're going tomorrow." And he goes, "Huh. You want to take my plane?" And I said, "Well, I don't know how to fly a plane." And he's like, no, I got a plane going. You just go." And I was like, "You just got a plane going to San Antonio with nobody in it? Because, you know, I got money, but I don't got that kind of money." And he goes, no. The plane, here's where it got a little dicey. He goes, the plane is going to Nashville. Nashville is where they do the maintenance on the plane, but there's no reason why it should be empty when it's going to the place where it's going to get repaired. We can just stop in San Antonio and then we can go to Nashville. And I was like, that's cool, but I know enough about planes, which is you get X amount of hours on the jet, you get X amount of hours on the electronics, you get X amount of hours on the fuselage, you get these hours, and then it has to go in and be refurbished, right? So if you're going to the place where it needs to be broken down and rebuilt, that means it's at the very end of its useful life. So you don't want to, here's the two flights you don't want to be on. You don't want to be on the very first flight after it's refurbished, and you don't want to be on the very last flight on the way to the place where it's being refurbished. But anyway, I'm cheap. I'm like, fuck it. So we got onto Mark Garagus's jet at Burbank at noon. I just had a couple of cocktails and hugged my son. I'm like, fuck it, we're doing this. And we just piled onto this jet and landed 10 minutes from here 10 minutes ago. So we're good.
Adam.
Huh.
So also, we were trying to think of what do we want to bring to eat. And right. Adam brought leftover sushi and refused to let us buy any food for the trip.
That's right. I said I had sushi left over. This is a very L.A. thing. I said we're bringing a box of sushi. And you guys can eat it in the airport. But the airport for the private airport, it's not really an airport. It just looks like, it looks like the lounge of a golf resort where you just sit there and eat sushi. So we piled that on. We landed here. All is good in the neighborhood. And I was talking to Mike August on the way out here. We're talking about everyone moving to Texas, like everybody is moving to Texas. And I thought, you know, we're talking about all the celebrities and Elon Musk and all those guys building a truck factory and blah, blah, blah. But I thought to myself, you know, I've lived in California my entire life. And I've heard of a lot of people moving to a lot of places. And not one of them has ever moved back. Nobody went, I went to South Carolina, was there for 4 years, it was fucking miserable, I'm sorry, I'm back in Los Angeles. Nobody. All anyone ever, living in Los Angeles is like being in an abusive relationship. Like everybody leaves, go like, oh my God, I was with Brett for 11 years, I can't believe I put up with that shit, I should have turned lesbian a long time ago. By the way, for you women, going lesbian is always on the table, right? It's just there. You don't trot it out too often. You don't talk about it, but it's there, right? Like, no, I'm 56. I can't say to my wife, you know what? I've had enough of this shit. I'm going to start sucking cock. I'm out of here. I don't even know what a cock looks like, but I'll go fucking find one and I'll be happy. You women at any time in your career can just go, fuck you, I'm moving to Palm Springs, gonna start eating pussy. See ya. let's see, what do I got? I want to yell about my dead grandmother. most of my family members, I wait for them to die before I really start cursing their name, but my grandmother, I was thinking about my grandmother the other day because I've been noticing this thing that's going on in this world, which is everyone is like, so I come from a long line of people that are like, I love this country. Now, let me spend 45 minutes telling you what's wrong with this country, which I'm seeing a lot of these days, although they don't preface it with, I love this country anymore. They just tell you what's wrong with this country. Everyone is so fucking pissed off, and they're just telling you why we hate this country. And I was thinking about my grandmother. My grandmother grew up in Los Angeles, and she ended up in the San Fernando Valley, and which is, I don't know, suburb, right, you know, in Los Angeles. And she married this European guy. She married a Hungarian Jew named Laszlo Gorok. That was her, not my mom's biological father, because why would we do any of that? But but she dumped that guy and married the Hungarian Jew, Laszlo Gorok. And all she did from her little shitty house in the San Fernando Valley is always talk about like how great Europe was and how much the United States sucked. She was like, a little bit of a communist. But my grandmother was a total hypocrite, because the only job she ever had was with the VA. So she worked for the Veterans Administration, took all the fucking money and all the perks and all the vacations they had, but then just complained about this country and how much it sucked, and the army and the government and everything else, and then exalted the virtues of Europe all the time. She's like, in Europe, it's all that fucking in Europe. You know, in Europe, the children drink wine on the beach, and they're topless, and they smoke, and everyone loves it, and it's great, and everything else. I thought to myself, wait a minute. I just had this vision the other day, which is, you have lived with a Hungarian Jew named Laszlo Gorog for the last 30 years. All you do is talk about what a piece of shit the United States is. Laszlo Gorog grew up in Hungary, Europe, your beloved Europe, and in 1939, when the Nazis were invading Europe and rounding up Jews like your husband, putting them on trains and putting them in a fucking oven, he got on a steamship and he came to the United States so that he could have a productive, rich, and peaceful life, which is what you guys have been doing here for the last 50 years. You're talking shit about this country and exalting the virtues of Europe, and you're living with a guy who fled Europe so he wouldn't be put in a fucking toaster oven and incinerated. That is an interesting twist, you old bitch. Seeing little flashes of that today, if you guys know what I mean. Everyone's everywhere else is fucking paradise, and we're a piece of shit, except for we're all here, and no one's going to paradise. This is our paradise. I was also thinking about Rosie the Riveter yesterday. Remember that famous poster? Rosie the Riveter's like hot 25-year-old chick. She's like, she's doing her part. Like it's World War II, and she's doing her part. And I was like, where is our Rosie the Riveter of today? You know what I mean? Some 23-year-old chick who graduated Berkeley with a Chicano studies major and is down blowing some Antifa guy and trying to burn down a courthouse in Portland. Like, who the fuck is this bitch? I thought you were supposed to be jumping in and helping the cause, not out on the street wrestling with cops and screaming at people who weren't wearing masks. Is that, where's our fucking Rosie the Riveter of today? Is every 23-year-old chick just the most angry? I've never seen more angry blonde chicks in my entire life. How about you fucking do a jello shot and enjoy yourself a little bit? Like, I get it. You got to go out there and slay. You got to go out there and fight windmills. I get it. But how about just fucking enjoying your 20s a little bit instead of being so goddamn miserable all the time? Girls on trampolines. I miss them. The simpler times. I got a last thought for you, but something I was thinking about the other day as well, which is I was thinking about everybody here has to kind of reevaluate their relationship with danger, because everyone is scared shitless, and I'm convinced it's that everyone is sitting in an air-conditioned office and they're not out in the real tangible world. They're not touching things. They're not dealing with things, and they're not getting their hands dirty, and they're not having a relationship like with danger, which is, we have guys here and girls here that work on cars. No. Okay, good. I'm moving on to the next subject. So what about these unicorns, people? I'll tell you what. No, I was thinking about, I always think about the guys who work for me, who work on cars and who build my race cars. And for them, it's always this dance between danger and speed, which is like when you're jacking up a car and you're using a floor jack and you jack up the car, you can slide under the car with the floor jack, but it's not that safe. Floor jacks fail. People hit stuff. Stuff collapses. You'll get crushed by the car. So you jack it up, and then you slide a jack stand under it, and then you slide under it. But if you're in a fucking hurry and you want to shake hands with the devil, you jack it up, and you slide under, and you do your shit, and you slide back out. Lickety-split. But what I'm saying is when you live in that world, it's a constant sort of dance between, like, speed and danger. Like, do you want to be fast and get crushed by a Datsun, or do you want to slow it down a little and get these jack stands under these cars? And it's that part of your mind that's engaged constantly. It's like a constant engagement. And that has completely gone away because everyone's just sitting around playing Fortnite, watching you porn, looking at sitting in air conditioning and drinking energy drinks. Ironically, why are we drinking energy drinks? We're sitting around like, you know what? I'm going to have this Red Bull because yesterday I only beat off 5 times. Today, I'm going for a new personal best. So I'm going to fucking down some rock stuff. All right, we got Bald Brian, we got Ben Shapiro, we got Teresa Strasser, who's going to be joining us as well. Oh, they're up there. Let me see if I can see you guys. Hey, guys, Brian, can you hear me? Oh, we can't hear Brian. Teresa?
I can hear you.
We can hear
you.
Happy
to see you.
Ben Shapiro?
Yeah, how's it going, dude?
Good. Ben, congratulations on the book. I think I checked right before I walked out here. Number 2 overall on Amazon. So it's basically the number 2 sales book in the world right now. Congratulations. I was How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. And again, it's available now and, of course, the podcast, The Ben Shapiro Show. Ben, I was listening to the audiobook on the way here, and it was quite enthralling, and I always listen to the podcast, so thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks, I appreciate it. I'm just sad that it came in number 2 to Mary Trump's Trump Abused My Dog. That came in number 1 on the New York Times bestseller list, and unfortunately.
Yeah, but, you know, that book sold 950,000 units in pre-sale?
Yep. I definitely should have alleged that Trump did something to me when I was a child or something. Definitely there's some money in that.
Yeah, the name of my next book is going to be called I Was Raped by Donald Trump in a Locker Room Shower. And then the rest is just going to be my jokes. Brian, can you hear me now?
Yeah, buddy, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm sorry, I was
good.
Muted. I blame the brain tumor. Adam, Rosie the Riveter has been replaced by Rosie the Rioter.
That's right. Very good, Brian.
Come on, buddy.
We needed
right there.
Ben... you know, it's funny, like, every time I listen to you speak, and I was listening to your audiobook on the flight in today, I just think to myself, it's all just so basic. It's all, for me, I just say, the world needs to go on a diet, and I'm just saying diet and exercise. Like, we need to lose weight, and I just say diet and exercise. Like, just drink water, start taking walks. It's really basic shit. But nobody's down with it. They all want something. And the stuff you're talking about is really centuries old, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's really basic stuff. I mean, it's stuff that we did learn in third grade. I mean, the Declaration of Independence is a pretty great document, and it really espouses some pretty fantastic ideas. And the fact that there's so many people who today want to wreck that document and think the ideas are themselves bad. And it's not just that they think people didn't live up to the ideas. They think that the ideas themselves are dangerous and that we should throw away the ideas that the American flag stands for tyranny and racism and bigotry, as opposed to the actual history of the United States, which is us trying to recognize those declaration ideals over time and stumbling and falling and harming people in the process, but eventually getting better at it. The fact that we're throwing away the greatest country in the history of the world so we can just be pissed off about things, it's really ungrateful. I mean, it's really damned ungrateful. This is the most prosperous country, or at least was until the pandemic, in the history of the world. And the most tolerant country, and the country where you had the most opportunity. And we're sitting around bitching about our lives in a way that, frankly, anybody in human history who arrived in America, I mean, hell, even during the pandemic, but before the pandemic in 2020, they would think that they died and went to heaven. I mean, the average life expectancy here is like 80 years old. Pick somebody up in 1600 and drop them here, and they would literally think that they died and this was now paradise.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, it's an interesting psychological dynamic, which is if you remove all obstacles, like if you ostensibly remove obstacles to success in any environment and any time, half the people will go, good, there is no obstacles. I shall move forward, and I'll move forward at a crazy clip, and I'll be as successful as I can, as fast as I can. The other half of the populace will start looking for obstacles. And it's a really interesting dynamic. But also, I feel like this country is, it's just like, it's like as if some rich stepdad gave their 17-year-old daughter a brand new Ferrari. And we walked out, and there was a bow on the hood, and we went, oh, my God, that's so awesome. Thanks, stepdad. And then 3 weeks later, we were going, you know, the stereo isn't as good as I thought it would be. And then there'd be trash, you know, In-N-Out Burger piled up trash on the passenger floor. And we're just like, we'd stop washing it and we started bitching about it. And then we started talking about other countries, like, well, other countries, they have Maseratis that have warranties. And we're like, how are we trashing this sort of Ferrari of a country? And I get the part where we constantly want to evolve and we want to cure problems and we want to even playing fields. But I don't feel like we're moving forward solving problems. I feel like we're staring in a rearview mirror trying to figure out what we can fix from the past that's unfixable because it's already happened. Thoughts?
I like that's exactly right.
I do like how your example of like the ultimate perfection is a foreign car.
It's a foreign car. It's Italy. Yeah. All right. Let's say it's a Pontiac Aztec. Your dad just got you a canary yellow.
Now we're talking.
1996 Pontiac Aztec, and you dare. Sorry.
Well, there's something seductive to the proposition that no matter what goes wrong in your life, you can always blame it on something that happened in the past or that is sort of out there in the universe that is not your fault. And listen, I mean, history has consequences. Of course, bad things that happened in the past have an impact on people today. Nobody's denying that. You'd be an idiot to deny that. But the question is, what can you do right now? And what always escapes me in these conversations is, what is wrong with the system like right now today? And what do you want to fix in the system right now today? And what do you intend as an individual human being on doing to raise yourself from the position you are now in right now today? And nobody wants to talk about right now today. Instead, people want to talk about like, well, you remember back during the 1960s, you remember back during the Civil War. It's like, well, yeah, we can talk about all that stuff, but there's this place that's happening right now. It's called 2020, and there's a decision right in front of you right now that's going to make your life better. Is there a reason why you're not making the decision to make your life better in the here and now as opposed to, you know, like burning down the police station? There's some things you can do to make your life better. And if you're not doing those things, then you complaining about the system really is just an excuse for you not to do the things you should be doing.
I agree. Yeah, put your hands together. I think I sent out a tweet a couple of weeks ago, which is like, America now is like a marriage, and all you do is sit around with your wife and look back at mistakes you made when you were dating. And it's like, remember that time when you came too fast 7 years ago, and then that other time you called my sister fat when you were drunk? Yeah, that was 11 years ago. How about we add a patio onto our house and get on with our fucking lives before we die. Teresa Strasser, I feel like I should ask you to weigh in at some point.
Well, I appreciate your story about your grandmother's, were they married husband? As a Hungarian Jew myself, my great-grandfather came over from Budapest. His name was, for some reason, Hungarians call guys named Albert Bela. And he came over here. He spoke six languages. But when he got here, he sold fruit from a cart in the Bronx. And he was happy to do it. He was thrilled to be here. There are a lot of immigrants that feel that way.
Yeah, my grandfather's brother was named Bela, who was in Hungary. And, of course, his sister was named Buzsi. Everything in Hungary so it has a weird name, except for Albert, evidently. And, yeah, I would kind of just say, in terms of the theme of beating up on this country, if the entire world is trying to get to this country, how bad can it really be? Or let's just say this country is a hellscape. What must other countries be like? Sorry.
I love Teresa's inspirational story, but Teresa, please explain to our San Antonio audience what a Jew is.
Yeah, what's a Jew okay. again?
I know you guys are getting Jewed out because you're seeing Ben Shapiro, he's got a yarmulke, and me. So Jews, Ben, you're an expert on this more than I am. I mean, if you had to nutshell it.
We control the weather, we control all your finances, and we control Hollywood.
And wait a second, and international banking.
Oh, yeah.
Stand-up comedy.
So if you like your mortgages, say thank you.
Now, Ben, I don't know a lot about Jews, but this guy here hasn't got his nachos yet. Could you go ahead and just give the okay so he can get his nachos, since you guys, in fact, control everything?
Oh, yeah. We control processed cheese. There's nothing we don't control. From our central headquarters in Zion.
I'll get right on it. It's Friday night, so that means that our Elders of Zion meeting is in about an hour and a half here. So.
Do you do your Sabbath? Wait, tomorrow's the Sabbath. What do you do tonight?
It starts tonight. It's Friday night to Saturday night. So because the Bible says, and there was evening and there was morning one day, there was evening, there was morning a second day, the Jewish day begins at night. So Sabbath actually begins Friday night and then ends after sundown on Saturday night.
Do you use the Shabbos goyim?
We could. We typically have electronic devices we pre-program. But the so-called Shabbos goy is basically, goy just means nation in Hebrew. It just means somebody who's not Jewish who comes in and like turns on your fridge if you forget to turn on your fridge or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in English we call them Mexicans. I can't remember, though. I got to look that one up. But they come in, they do all the stuff we don't want to do. It's the same. It's the same basic principle for the non-Jews. I have always been sort of secretly jealous of the Sabbath because as an atheist, I have no clock and no calendar. I remember I was thinking about it when we were flying in today. I was thinking about when I used to work at McDonald's. And there was one Saturday morning when my phone just rang at 7 a.m. when I was living at my parents' house, and I was 16. I was working at McDonald's, and they just called, and they go, hey, somebody dropped out. We got a morning breakfast rush. We need someone to make egg McMuffins. Get your polyester brown ghee and get the hell down here. And I was like, okay. But I wish I could have said, this is my Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. In a world of Twitter, it is the greatest thing that has ever been invented. God knew some things if you believe in him. And when it comes to the idea that you're supposed to take a break from your electronic devices for like 25 hours, it never has that been more true than today. One of the great glories of my life is being able to turn everything off on Friday night. And then you turn everything back on 25 hours later. And it's like that GIF from Community with Donald Glover walking in and just looking around and freaking out because every single thing is on fire and people are flinging sharp objects at one another. Like, what did you guys do while I was gone? Every Sabbath I leave and the world is pretty bad. And then I come back 25 hours later and it's significantly worse.
But can, I don't know the rules, but can you use your Shabbos goy? Can you have that guy, like, could you have a guy look like Spicoli holding your phone on Saturday morning, and you'd be like, tell Rachel Maddow she's a bitch. Go ahead, tweet it out. Tweet, I can't do it, but go ahead, settle her hash. Could you do that?
You know what? I'm not sure they covered that one in the Talmud. I'm going to have to check.
All right, check. But get back to me, though, seriously. And I am serious. This guy wants his nachos. Okay. You want to do some blah, blah, blog? All right, we'll play it.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
So we're going to have to guess, Ben and an audience, whose online rant this was. We'll have three choices, I believe. Go ahead, Dawson.
Really? MLB can't play baseball with all the money and exclusivity and testing in the country? And you want me to send my kids to school? I feel so bad for the older generation. They've fought their entire lives to just chill and enjoy their grandkids and drink mimosas. And this happens? A botched pandemic response that leaves them vulnerable and alone. And don't even get me started with how fucked our priorities are in this country. We've got a secret armed police in full-on tactical gear, but we don't have enough PPE for our frontline healthcare workers. I mean, what in the actual fuck is wrong with us? Is it Patricia Arquette, Deborah Messing, or Alyssa Milano?
It's tough. It's a lot of. I don't know. This is the Messing thing is kind of. Brian normally has a pretty good read on these. Brian, what are you feeling like?
Well, my logic says that the one line that stuck out to me was, the old people drinking mimosas. No fucking old person drinks mimosas. That's a young person drink. Maybe like a middle-aged, like Karen drink. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to eliminate Deborah Messing. I think she would know that. Mm. I'm going to go Milano.
Alyssa Milano. Teresa Strasser?
I don't think Deborah
Actually, you know what? Change my answer. It's Arquette.
Yep. Arquette. It's Arquette. Okay.
Okay, I don't think Deborah Messing would curse. I'm also going to go Arquette.
Ben Shapiro.
I'll make it across the board. I also think it's Arquette. That's a lot of F-bombs for Alyssa Milano. And there are a couple of, like, three-syllable words in there, so I'm not sure that Alyssa knows those.
Mimosa.
Mimosa. Yeah, you're right. I thought Arquette is well with all the swearing, so let's just go all across the board, Arquette.
The blog belongs to Alyssa Milano.
Damn you.
Wow.
Brian, I blame you.
Yes,
I do too, but on the upside, I really enjoyed Mike Dawson's reading of that blog.
I did too.
Heartfelt.
All right, well, we're all tied up.
I get asked a lot if I ever liked working in Hollywood. My answer is no, I never did. It was a means to my end, my goals. My Hollywood was a job filled with mostly sociopathic predators shooting damaged fish in a barrel. We, the beautiful ones, were the fish. We were their targets. The truth of it is that the beautiful ones are looked at as the weak gazelles in the herd, the ones that limp under the attention they receive. It was too much for me. Look into my eyes. Ask me again if I liked it. No. Is it Rose McGowan?
Wow.
Denise Richards or Eliza Dushku?
Wow. This is tough.
I have thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, when I was in high school, I just thought all the hot chicks had it made. I didn't know the hell all the hot chicks were living in simply by being totally desirable all the time. I was completely unaware of this burden of being hot.
Adam, I had the exact same thought. All I wanted to do was be one of the beautiful fish, but instead I was one of the gefilte fish. I think Rose McGowan was the beautiful fish in question. She would probably be likely to see things in terms of predators. And it was pretty well written, actually. I think it's Rose.
Rose. Brian, thoughts?
I can eliminate Denise Richards for sure because she's on fucking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She is not done with Hollywood.
Right.
I'm going to actually go with Eliza Dushku because she specifically mentioned predators, and she was a child star. Or she was like a little girl in True Lies. So I'm just going to lean that way. Could be McGowan, but I'm going with Eliza.
It's Ben Shapiro.
I'll go Dushku as well. Rose McGowan tends to curse a lot. I'm using a lot of the cursing tell, and so far it has worked horribly for me. I'll go Dushku anyway.
You know, I'm wondering, like, I always try to think, why would Eliza Dushku be on there? Would she make the cut? Would she be on the list if, it wasn't her? Because it sounds like kind of a deep dive. I'm going to go Eliza Dushku as well. We got a lot of Dushku fans here.
The blog belongs to Rose McGowan.
God damn it! Why do we play this game night after night?
Reflect.
Well, I will say this. If anybody listens to the podcast with any regularity at all, you will know, thank you, you know without a shadow of a doubt that there is no cheating or peeking going on with the guy who hosts the podcast. Because I fail miserably at every single one of these games. And there's no possible way I could cheat and fail miserably simultaneously. Are we all 0 for 2 now?
No, Teresa got that one.
Oh, Teresa got that one. All right, Teresa, you're in the catbird seat.
Reflect on what today should mean to all of us. Right now, it's so important to keep up the momentum of anti-racist conversations, actions, and of course, to stay safe. Let's celebrate the America we are building with progress, tolerance, and love. Is it Paula Abdul, Eva Longoria, or Lady Gaga?
I do like the fact that we say the word tolerance every 15 minutes in this country. I feel like I have tolerance for every race in this country, but I don't have tolerance for shitty drivers. Like, that's, for me, it's not race, it's more the race, like trying to get to work and your fucking ass is in front of me. But the only group that I'm not tolerant of is shitty drivers. Every other group I'm fine with. All right. Should we hit Brian first? What do you think?
Teresa go first. She's in the lead.
All right, Teresa, go ahead.
I don't know why, but the syntax just sort of screamed Lady Gaga, and so did your audience, so I'm going Gaga.
Brian?
Yeah, I'm going Gaga, too.
All right, Ben?
I may as well go 0 for 3. I'm going to go Eva Longoria.
I feel I've removed Paula Abdul from this group. I did have a bizarre Paula Abdul encounter once. I was getting on a plane in LAX, and I was in first class, and I was walking past what was clearly Paula Abdul in first class, and I was thinking to myself, holy shit, that's Paula Abdul. And she looked at me and she went, hey, I have someone who wants to talk to you. And I said, you do? And she handed me her phone, and I said, hello? And it was Mike August, the guy I flew over here with. So she was on the phone with Mike August when I walked onto a plane, and she said to Mike August, Adam Carolla just walked on this plane, and Mike said, let me talk to him. And Paul Abdul handed me her phone. So that's how big a C-list celebrity I am. I think I'm going to go. It could be Lady Gaga, but I'm going to go Eva Longoria as well. I feel like she's getting into her activism stage, and I'm going to go with Eva.
Tough round. The blog belongs to Paula Abdul.
Oh, oh, what the hell?
I do love Paula. Have y'all seen the commercial where current Paula is dancing with Paula of 20 years ago?
Yeah.
I know. And then soon we'll just license her family so she can dance with a mop, like later on, like Fred Astaire did. Yes, I have seen the commercial where she does the same moves that she did in the video, but she does them now. But what is that for? Is that for some sort of muscle relaxer or like a it's like adult diaper or hemorrhoid cream?
Psoriasis,
like. They always do, like, every single one of those commercials is like, don't let the heartache of psoriasis slow you down. And then they show them dancing or holding up their grandkids. I don't think I'll ever love my grandkids as much as those people love them in the commercials. So I'll never fucking hold them up and go, look, thank God. I could see my move with my grandkids would be like, hey, you're fucking blocking the TV. Come on, get it out. Move it on over. Play with blocks somewhere else. All right. This is pathetic. So we're all 0-3, and Teresa's 1? Wait.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Teresa with a commanding 1-0 lead after 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Here we go. Injustice festers. It is not a matter of who is to blame. We are all responsible. We can't do the same we did yesterday and expect tomorrow to be better than today. We must rise in activism, rise in struggle, rise in love. We cannot adapt to injustice. We must be maladaptive. Peace is not the absence of tension. It is the presence of justice. We must assume responsibility for disturbing a false peace in order to establish a true justice. Is it Cory Booker?
Cory Booker.
Jada Pinkett Smith. Or Common?
Common. It could be Jada. Is there a worse rap name than Common? Like, what? Common. Common is not like there's some good rap names out there, but. You know, Snoop Dogg is strong, and there's some good, strong rap names out there, but Common just sounds like, why don't you just call yourself Fair to Midland, like her?
Adam, he should be on the cover of that magazine, Okay.
Yeah, that's right. What's your rap name? Above average. My friends call me C+.
I was going by Ordinary, but, you know, I got a little boring.
Yeah, I was thinking of going with Camry, but what the fuck? Why are you going with Common? All right, he's a proud man. I wish I was that proud. I wish I was proud enough to write poetry. I really can't. I can't do it. I feel like there's two things I can't do as an adult. I can't write poetry, and I can't wear cowboy boots. I feel like somebody I went to high school with would go, hey, get the fuck back in the house. So I would be scared to do both. Yes.
You have never written a poem for Lynette ever.
No, I've never written a poem. I did own a pair of black cowboy boots one time because there was a guy I worked with. Evidently, they make your ass look better, but only to dudes. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword.
You and me and Teresa worked with a guy like that.
I worked with a guy at Always Better Closets when I used to work at a custom closet store in a factory in Burbank, California. And this dude's name was Kelly, and he was from Durango, Colorado. I guess if you're from Durango, Colorado, you're grandfathered in on the cowboy boots. And he wore cowboy boots, and he was like, the reason you never get laid is because you don't have cowboy boots. And I'm like, okay. And I mean, this was like a durable, good purchase for me. This was like $77 worth of cowboy boots when my net worth was like $150. And I wore these black cowboy boots, and I still didn't get laid.
And I wrote a poetry. I wrote a poem that night about beating off. I remember it very.
How'd it go?
Sorry. All right. So Common. Who are the? I can't see from here. We got Common. Who are we again?
Jada Pinkett. And Cory Booker.
Jada Pinkett Smith and Cory Booker.
Jada's like super proud. How about that red table talk she had with Will Smith the other day where she was just talking about banging some other dude?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. I got to say, like, I haven't had any of those conversations with my wife, thankfully. But Brian, Ben, Teresa Strauss, everyone's married here. If your wife or husband said, I want to sit down and talk to you about banging somebody outside of this marriage, would you go, hold on, let me set up the camera?
Yeah, let's make this worldwide.
Yeah, I would say, why don't we just put a burlap sack on our head and you can tell it to me outside once the streetlights come on. Like, I wouldn't feel like I'd want to film that, but okay.
Oh, two birds with one stone, Adam. Here's what you do if you find yourself in that situation. Say, Lynette, roses are red, my boots are black. Guess what I was doing behind your back.
Wow.
Oh, pretty good. All right, so... let's see. Teresa, you're in the lead. Why don't you go first? Yeah.
For no reason, really, I'm going with Cory Booker.
Cory Booker. He's proud.
Hey,
Brian,
Dawson,
point
of information, question for you if you're still there. Did the tweet say we must be maladaptive or we must not be maladaptive? Because that's a big difference.
The tweet says we cannot adapt to injustice. We must be maladaptive.
Oh, to injustice. Shit, I want to go Cory Booker, too. I'll go Common.
You go with Common. Ben?
I don't think it's Mr. Potato Head Cory Booker, who always brings his angry eyes to all of his hearings. I'm going to go Common. And just a quick note, whenever somebody says, we're all responsible for a problem, you know they're full of shit. As soon as someone says, we are all responsible, that is code for, I am definitely not responsible because I just said we're all responsible, which means all of you are responsible and I'm the good one for saying it.
So we got Teresa with Cory. Wait, sorry. You went with Jada?
I got Cory.
All right. I'm going to go Jada. She's super proud, although is she? Yeah, I'm going Cory Booker. Sorry. I'm with Cory on this one.
The blog belongs to Cory Booker.
So now what's the goddamn score?
Teresa has two, Adam has one, Ben and Bald are off the board.
All right.
We have one more.
All right. Well, let's just say whoever wins this one will just be the grand champion. All right, Teresa Strasser, let's do it that way.
All right. Fair enough.
This is basically like when I play one-on-one basketball and I'm down by 29 points and somebody goes, it's time to eat. I go, all right, next bucket wins. That's what this is.
I'm good with it.
All right,
here we go. Here we go.
Keep thinking about how when I was young and doing a photo shoot per week, so many photographers asked me to keep my mouth open and just look less severe. I look back at those pics and regret agreeing to look weaker than I was. Don't let anyone convince you to forfeit your power. Is it Olivia Wilde, Gabrielle Union, or Christina Applegate?
What's the part about keeping your mouth open or closed? I don't know what the aesthetic of that is. I open my mouth to breathe, and so everyone thinks I'm stupid. So, but that... I have a deviated septum. I got to get air into my lungs. What do you want me to do? I don't like this to be saddled with this title of stupid just because I'm a mouth breather. The knuckle dragging part I get. Yeah. All right, Teresa Strasser, you want to go or you want me to go?
Okay, Olivia Wilde was. I have a soft spot for her because I love the movie she directed, Bald Brialino. Was it Booksmart?
Booksmart is great.
It was so great. And it's easy to believe that she was a model and told to keep her mouth open.
Mm.
So, I think I'm going to go with her.
I heard Gabby Union talking, or Gabriel Union talking about getting fired from, like, you know, America's Next Top Dancer, Model, Singer, Person, or While You Were Gay, or one of those shows. I don't know. What was her show?
Listen, America's Got Talent,
right?
America's Got Talent.
Oh, that's right.
She was talking about getting fired from America's Got Talent. And first things first, have you ever heard more complaining from a group of people that work in air conditioning around free food? Because I can tell you what Hollywood is. It's all air conditioning and free food, and everyone just fucking complains. If you guys just worked in air conditioning with a never-ending buffet, you'd never stop thanking whoever laid that out. But the Hollywood actors are the worst people in the world because they sit in a place, they work in an air-conditioned horn of plenty. It's essentially, that's like owning a golden corral and getting 50 grand a week, and you have the temerity to complain. But Gabby Union was being interviewed, and she was talking about getting shit canned and then reclaiming her power. So I'm going to say Gabby Union on this one.
I'm going to continue a bit where I explain it a lot and then get it completely wrong. Okay. Christina Applegate was a celebrity since she was a kid. There's no way someone would say this to a celebrity on the set. Probably someone is like with her, like her agent or her whatever. So that's, she's out. I'm totally with it, Teresa, by Olivia Wilde. Her default look is like fierce and smoldering. And I think she was a model at some point. So everything adds up for Olivia Wilde.
Ben Shapiro and Bald Brian, even though you've been mathematically eliminated, this is one of those, like in junior high when you're running for treasurer and you're giving this speech and you go, even though I'm running unopposed, I still need your vote. I was 13. I was like, vote for yourself, bitch, and you win by a landslide. You're running unopposed. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, and I'll go Gabby Union for the same reason. Didn't she just make a bunch of allegations of racial discrimination on the set at America's Got Talent, and then they did like a full investigation, and they found that it wasn't really the case. So she's been doing a lot of the, from what I understand, for the same reason, she's been doing a lot of the, I've been victimized by Hollywood routine. So I'll say Gabby Union.
Okay. The answer, Dawson.
The blog belongs to Olivia Wilde. Teresa Strasser for the win.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
I really successfully talked myself into thinking I was right before I was wrong. Is it really
well,
going to be
not
the...
your fault. It's
you got one right,
fault.
Dude.
It's
I got
everyone...
zero right.
Zero
right.
Brian, did you go over? Did you get... Oh, you got Livia there.
I got the last one.
No, I just got destroyed.
A pyrrhic victory.
Ben, I would argue in your defense that it takes almost as much skill to go 0-for-5. I've always said it. Make a movie on Rotten Tomatoes that gets 0%. I think that's just as tall a order as getting one that gets 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm just going to claim that I spend all my time reading Plato and Aristotle, and I have no time for these celebrity wannabes.
The book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, is available now on Amazon. Of course, the podcast, The Ben Shapiro Show, as well, and the website, The Daily Wire. DailyWire.com is where you go. Ben Shapiro, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks, Adam.
Oh, right. Let's see. We got the news, and Teresa Strasser's got the news cooked up for us. Let me just hit a quick spot here. Let me hit Butcher Box. Yeah, not a lot of vegans in this crowd. Hard to find 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, wild-caught salmon. You don't find that stuff at the grocery store. You get it at Butcher Box. They bring it right to your house. One less grocery store trip to make. I think we've all figured out that we don't want to go to the grocery store and wait in line. And plus, half the time you go out in public, everyone's having some middle-aged broads having a meltdown. And the frozen food section. Save the heartache, man. Let's go with ButcherBox. I use these guys. What I have last? I had the chicken last, but the pork chops are great because they're like the old school. They're marbled with the fat. They're the ones you remember when you were growing up. It's easy. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals, around just $6 a meal, packaged fresh, shipped frozen, vacuum sealed, free shipping nationwide, and you just go to butcherbox.com/Adam. They'll save the money. They'll send it out to you. Butcherbox.com/Adam. All right, should we do the news? Let's do the news. Yeah.
The NBA officially restarted its season last night. The NBA was the only sports league that had an existing rule requiring athletes to stand for the national anthem, and for that reason, it didn't really get pulled into the Colin Kaepernick kneeling controversy back in 2016. But the racial unrest this spring changed all that. The NBA restarted in its bubble in Orlando last night, and there were two games, the Jazz versus the Pelicans and the Lakers versus the Clippers. And during both national anthems, everyone on the court kneeled, every player, every coach, even the refs. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is fine with it. Afterward, he said, quote, "I respect our team's unified act of peaceful protest for social justice, and under these unique circumstances, will not enforce our longstanding rule requiring standing during the playing of our national anthem."
What percentage, like when you think about the refs, like what percentage of the people are really down with the cause versus scared shitless? They're just gonna be shouted out of the bubble or attacked on Twitter? Because I feel like there's a handful that are down with the cause, and then a larger majority that are just like, I just want to leave the bubble and hug my kids at some point. And by the way, do the refs have to live in the bubble? Everyone has to live in the bubble, right? How could the refs not live in the bubble?
I assume so.
From what I understand, there are levels of bubble. For example, certain media who are in the bubble are like yellow, so they can go into certain restricted areas, but not the most restricted areas. But so far, the bubble has been very effective. Soccer's been in the bubble. I think, you know, they've done a good job containing it. Meanwhile, baseball, out of the bubble, lot of problems. As you know, the Marlins had 17 cases, and then the Phillies had many cases.
It was on like day three, or it might have been day two. Who knows? It was like the first or second or third day.
I'd like soccer to stay in the bubble for as long as humanly possible. Like, I just feel like I can't stand soccer, so I like them in the bubble. Baseball, I don't mind in the bubble. Basketball, I mean, I think the moral of the story is, like, my son was watching the game last night. I was watching the highlights. Evidently, all the stuff we thought we needed, we don't really need anymore, right? Like, fans are sort of like the parsley by the side of the plate when you'd go to a diner. Like, for the first 30 years of my life, there was always a sprig of parsley. And I'd be like, what do we do with the parsley? Like, we need to have it there, okay? That's the way we do it. And then one day, the parsley was gone, and nobody noticed. So all the rules that we have about, you know, the crowd, and are these guys going to be motivated, and how can they play, and they won't be able to do it, and whatever it is, evidently, we don't need anybody. It's really, it's loosely the relationship I have with my family. As it turns out, I just left, and I didn't really need them. Now I'm in the bubble.
Who's the parsley in that metaphor?
I would go ahead and say, is parsley a vegetable? Because I would characterize my parents as vegetables. And I don't want to bump them up to something noble like zucchini.
They're garnish level leafy greens.
Yes, they're garnish level vegetables.
Well, somebody none of us wants in the bubble, friend of the show and great actor Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. As y'all have probably heard by now, he released a video on social media announcing that he was diagnosed with COVID-19. He said, quote, "A little while ago, He said he was very lucky that he had only had very mild symptoms. The point of the video was to highlight the importance of donating plasma to help others. He even shows footage of himself at the UCLA Blood and Platelet Center. In the caption, he said, quote, "You're probably feeling a little tied down, restricting your mobility, and like me, you are tired of this. Well, I just want to encourage you to have a little more patience. I was pretty strict in adhering to the protocols, and I contracted this virus. Yep, I urge you to keep wearing the damn mask, keep washing your hands, and stay socially distant. We can prevail, but only if we follow the rules together."
So I saw Brian yesterday. Was it yesterday, Brian? I was trying to.
He was in your studio either yesterday or the day before. Well, the last day.
I think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah. I'm sorry. Everything's, you know. When you drink on a private jet, the calendar gets a little blurry. But I was.
Man of the people.
I saw Brian yesterday. And he was in my studio. He was filming because he was. We're working on a documentary about Mad Magazine, and he read Mad Magazine a lot. So we're asking people I know to talk about Mad Magazine. So Brian was in my studio yesterday being filmed, and then I came in and talked to him for a while, and I think we did like the fist bump or something. And he wasn't wearing a mask, and I wasn't wearing a mask. And then I woke up this morning, and there was an email that said, Brian Cranston has COVID-19. I was like, oh, shit. I gotta fog the joint now because Cranston was in there yesterday. But I didn't know it was a story about him having it 2 months ago or whatever. And I got to tell you, though, like, I'm not a responsible person. So when people say to me, hey, man, I played by the rules. Like, I wash my hands, I socially distance, I put a mask on, and I still got it. I hear, oh, well, then fuck it. Let's go. Like, let's party. Like, to me, I hear those stories the way, like, when they go, Agnes lived to 111 years old. Every day she started off with a shot of Jack Daniels and a Chesterfield. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now we can all smoke and drink. I don't hear the opposite story. So these stories of I followed all the rules and I got it anyway, I just translate into, hey, suckers, why are you following the rules? So Cranston is giving his platelets, and we can use, what do we do? Do we get a vaccine out of that, or we use it to immunize people?
So they're asking people who've had COVID-19 to donate what's called convalescent plasma. And they're doing a lot of research to find out if they can treat people who have contracted coronavirus with this plasma. So as many people that can donate it, that helps with all their tests.
I don't want to besmirch the man. He's a good man, but I know Cranston pretty well. He likes good publicity. He also likes free Toll House cookies and orange juice. Were they giving that shit out? Because I don't know that he ever had this.
What you're saying is this was a ruse for the free juice and cookies and the very favorable publicity.
Like Good Ink meets Toll House cookies and fresh pressed orange juice. I'm not saying he didn't do it or didn't have it, but it is kind of... I like when people say, I'm not saying... Except for that's what you're saying by your tone. I'm not saying Cranston didn't have COVID-19, but I'm saying that. I'm calling the man a liar.
Okay, I've got a story about a guy who didn't not know he shouldn't masturbate in his car after his shift at Hungry Howie's, but he
His did. Shift, where was his shift?
Do you guys have Hungry Howie's pizza?
We don't have a Hungry Howie's.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Horny Howie's. It is what it is.
On Tuesday night, a woman in Fruitland Park, Florida, pulled into a spot next to a 1996 Honda Civic. I include the car for you, Adam, because I know that helps you to understand.
Yeah, I'm picturing it. You know. Yeah. God, I hope it wasn't a velour interior, but keep going. You want Naugahyde if you're going to beat off in that sled. You want rubber floor mats, you want the WeatherTech floor mats, and you want the Naugahyde. You don't want the velour and the carpet. You just don't. Sorry, go ahead.
He's in a convenience store parking lot, and a woman noticed a guy inside the car was moving his hand back and forth. The woman turned out to be an off-duty cop, so she took down his license plate, and she called some on-duty cops, and they tracked down this 22-year-old Stephen Donovan at his home. He admitted what he had been doing, and his excuse was that he thought it was legal to pleasure yourself in your car. It is not.
When they Trey's asking for a friend. Is this just Florida, or does this extend to other states?
I'm asking for a friend, too. What if you have a limo tint? If I got a limo tint, if I got a 33% tint, I mean, if my friend... Sorry, if my friend has a limo-style tint on that passenger side window, is that still a crime? I don't think so. I mean, he doesn't think so.
When he went home, this guy's 22, he went home to his girlfriend who's 20, and by the way, the car's registrant. So that's very awkward.
All right, but wait a minute. Let me say this. This guy beats off at a Papa John's or something. What was this place called?
He was working at the Hungry Howie's, but he was actually caught masturbating at the Circle K parking lot after his shift.
Yeah, at the Circle Jerk parking lot. Okay. My thing is if I get busted for masturbating while I'm masturbating, I deny it.
Yeah.
If you bust me for masturbating 45 minutes later when my dick is in my sweats, I really deny it.
Yeah, prove it.
Actually, sort of impressed how they went about it. They checked his license plate, and then they went to the residence, and then they asked, were you in the parking lot of Circle K at this time? And he said yes. So at that point, he had incriminated himself because the woman had already seen him with his genitals out, and she was an off-duty cop. So he placed himself at the scene of the masturbation.
Mm.
And at that point, he was taken away.
He had an itch.
Yeah, he had to scratch it. Yeah, Garagos could have got him off, pardon the pun. And what kind of chalk outline do we put around that crime scene? Teresa Strasser, let's do a little role-playing. Here's where I'd be the world's worst cop because you couldn't get me to do anything, especially as it pertained to this shit. So you be the female cop who caught this guy beating off in the parking lot. You're telling me to roll on it by telling me his license plate.
I got to give you the plate number?
Yeah.
Well, you can make that up.
You make it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless anyone in the audience has it memorized. I don't want to break down the fourth wall here, but
it's a personalized plate, heart jerking.
Yeah, that's right.
HRTJ.
Well, now we're doing role playing. Now you got to call, you got to blow a call in.
Oh, for God's sakes, here's me trying to do an improv.
Go ahead. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I do have the plate. I've got to call in a plate. There's a situation. A man is masturbating in a Honda Civic. License plate JACR.
I don't know who this is. What she cop is this? Hello?
It's Officer Strasser.
Oh, hey.
5 years. You know
me. Yeah, yeah. What do you want?
A man is masturbating. He's exposing his genitals. He's in a Honda Civic.
I'm done masturbating. I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing going on here. I'm just sitting in my car listening to Yacht Rock.
No, I'm talking about a perpetrator in the parking lot of Circle K. He's exposing his genitals unlawfully, and I need you to track down his license, please.
Did he rob the Circle K?
His genitals are out in the parking lot. He is masturbating in a public place in his car. Could you please?
You want me to roll on this call? We got the courthouse on fire in Portland. We got Antifa doing battle with Black Lives Matter. We got fellow officers with their cars burning, having frozen bottles thrown at them, and tear gas canisters kicked back them, and you want me to roll on a guy who was beating off in a Honda?
It's J A
J. Yeah, hold on. Let me get my invisible pen out. Hold on. Let me get Wonder Woman's pen out. Go ahead. I'm gonna write this down. Go ahead.
J A C R.
J as in cat. No. Go ahead. I know these are recorded. Go ahead. I'll write it down.
The man is masturbating in his car. Families could be walking by. It's a Circle K. I need you to take down the plate and roll on this call.
You want me to come to the Circle K, or you want me to run the plate and go to his home and then what?
Yes.
Kick in the front door, do a shoulder roll, come up with my Glock and yell, "No time for backup." Think I'm fucking TJ Hooker over here? The fucking town is burning and you're looking for guys that are beating off in a parking lot? Are you on duty?
Actually, I'm off duty.
Well, why don't you mind your own fucking beeswax then? I'm off duty 16 hours a day. You don't see me walking around looking for guys that are beating off. I mind my fucking own business.
I'm here to protect and serve.
I'm glad your head is on a swivel looking for guys pleasuring themselves in a Honda. But how about you fucking get caught up on whatever's on Netflix and leave society alone?
This is my job. I took an oath to protect and serve.
You took an oath to work 8 hours a day, not to never stop looking for guys. You think I took an oath to bust guys that are beating off? And by the way, what shall I do? Every time I'm mid-stroke and I look up in the mirror, throw some fucking zip ties on myself, I beat off earlier today.
Was it in your car, sir?
It was, but the car was in the garage. I do have some dignity. I'm sorry. What was the license plate again?
J-A-C-R-O.
J-A-C, as in Jack? You got to be offing me.
That is the license plate. That actually is the plate number.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to commandeer that armored vehicle that Daryl Gates would use to knock down crack houses in Los Angeles circa 1985. I'll tell you what. I'm going to get a whole fucking SWAT team. I'm going to get the group that rolled on Roger Stone's house 4 months ago. I'm going to get an amphibious boat. I'm going to get a battle-tested armored Humvee. And I'm going to get an entire SWAT team. And we're going to roll on this guy's hunt. I'm going to have guys rappelling down from this guy's apartment building, and we're going to go in with a couple of flash grenades. It's going to be like Raid on Entebbe, and I'll bust this guy, and I'll put him in the drunk tank, and when he wants to know why I did it, I'll tell him because you couldn't fucking mind your own beeswax.
Can I speak to your commanding officer, please?
He's beating off right now. What's this guy's plate again?
J-A-C-R-O-6. That is his plate.
What color's the Honda?
Brown.
Brown?
1996 Honda Civic.
Is it automatic?
I don't know.
Well, if you can't tell me whether it's a standard or automatic, I'm not going to roll on this one. Hey, next time you're off duty, how about you go out to the fucking driving range and hit a bucket of balls instead of running around looking for citizens beating off lawfully in their own Honda?
I wasn't looking for the Honda masturbator. He found me.
I understand you're looking at this as a calling, but what I'm saying is... All right, end scene. I think you guys got the idea of it. If
Teresa, how
I
close
were
your two young boys during that?
Sorry, Brian,
what?
Yes?
How close were your two young boys during that whole exchange?
Oh, that's a good
God,
call,
they
yeah.
Weren't so close.
See, here's why I'd be a horrible cop, because I just go, yeah, I'll go by this guy's house, and then I would never go by the guy's house. And then I'd just go, yeah, I drove by, I didn't see a Honda, so I just called it a night. All right, what else? Let's do one more, Teresa Strasser.
Oh, well, here's another pizza-related story.
Mm-hmm.
This out of New Zealand, where, by the way, 250,000 U.S. natives have flocked to that country's official immigration website. A lot of Americans thinking about New Zealand, moving to New Zealand. This is about Domino's Pizza in New Zealand. They had to drop a promotion offering free pizza to women named Karen after it was met with backlash. As you know, in recent years, the name Karen...
Let me say this about this country. Mm-hmm. We do that thing every once in a while. We're like, you know what? This is a racist hellscape, and we got to get out of here. We're going to a different country. I'm going to apply for citizenship in a different country. But we always, our next step is, what is the whitest place I can go to? New Zealand is the whitest place Whitey can flee to. So maybe we're not as woke as we claim to be, but go ahead.
The name Karen has been used as an insult to describe white middle-aged women who are perceived to be obnoxious or racist. The pizza's franchise's New Zealand arm initially said it wanted to give, quote, nice Karens a break from negativity, but some said it was tone-deaf and ignored more important issues and, quote, rewarded privilege. So what was the offer? There was a giveaway titled Calling All Nice Karens. It was posted on the pizza chain's Australian and New Zealand pages, and it asked those named Karen to tell Domino's in 250 words how they were one of the, quote, nice ones.
Can I say this? Hold on a second. You got to ask yourself, I feel the same way about people who are eating at Denny's on their birthday. Like, I get it. You get a free omelet, but you're 47 years old. What has gone wrong in your life that you're a cap? Like, I'm going to write a 3-page letter so I can get a $6 pizza for free. Like, at a certain point, your time becomes worth something, right? Is this all in the pursuit of a free pizza?
It is. So maybe the problem of your name being Karen, it doesn't crack the top 50 of your issues.
Yeah, I thought, and by the way, if your name is Karen, it means you're a white chick who's got privilege. What do you need a free world's shittiest pizza in New Zealand for?
You have encapsulated the backlash that happened in New Zealand. That's what people said. They said, why are you giving stuff to Karens who already have stuff? They are saying our intention was one of inclusivity only, which is why we removed the post in New Zealand and issued an apology. Some of the people on Twitter said that Domino's should find more worthy causes, people who actually need it, like those who are homeless and have no food security.
All right, first things, nobody really needs a pizza. You're just stone drunk or high and you want a pizza. Number one. Number two, I do love this sort of vague, like, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be giving that pizza to the homeless. What do you want Domino's to do? Just go out, find a homeless encampment, and start tossing those things out like they're playing ring toss? Like, I mean, the alternative is something they're never going to engage in, so it's futile. But it turns out everyone is a douchebag. And the computer has weaponized all our douchebaggery, and anyone who tries to do anything now, we just jump on it and go, well, you should have never, you have to understand that that's insensitive, and you got to hear what that's tone deaf. I'm so tired of people saying everything is tone deaf. Leave them alone. Let them give away their pizzas. And by the way, you know the real hero of today is Trader Joe's, because Trader Joe's went, fuck it. We're going to go with Trader Jose's taco shells, yeah. And you guys can all pound sand. Fuck you.
Trader Giuseppe's Italian sauce.
Yes, it's fine. Nobody's offended. This is some 17-year-old trying to fucking get everyone to bow to her in the Bay Area or wherever the hell she was from. And fuck you, sweetheart. Go back to whatever, climb in whatever hole you came from. Trader Joe's is sticking with their names. Okay. I'm gonna bid adieu to. Let's do. Do we have an outro? Do we have an outro, Teresa Strasser?
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news. Go.
Oh. Teresa Strasser and the news. Fuck you, CNN.
Thank you, Bald Brian. Thank you, Teresa Strasser. I will conclude the show with a little Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So if you have a subject, hopefully one word, and you spit it out, I can do... Well, I shouldn't say spit it out with this whole COVID thing going on out there, but you suggest the one word, and I will do an improv stand-up bit on that. This guy's raising his hand. What do you got?
Wisconsin.
I just got back from Wisconsin. Is that why you want to go with Wisconsin? I'll tell you this. Los Angeles is like a dumpster fire now in terms of what is going on. And I don't know why, but you know, some great, I don't know, French philosopher once said, you can judge a society by its prisons. And I'll take that a step further and say you can judge a city by its freeway on-ramps. Because whenever I travel, and I just got back from Wisconsin, I was driving back from Snap-on Tools, right? Is that in Wisconsin? Right. I love Snap-on. I was driving back from Snap-on, and all I ever do is go, holy shit, look at these on-ramps. Wow, there's no graffiti, there's no homeless, there's no garbage, there's no shopping carts. I don't know how we get shopping carts everywhere in Los Angeles. There's no more range for a shopping cart than Los Angeles. Like, there are shopping carts 40 nautical miles from the closest Ralph's in Los Angeles. They're just there. There's just, like, shopping carts everywhere, garbage everywhere, graffiti everywhere, trash everywhere, homeless everywhere, dirt and weeds everywhere. That is Los Angeles. And when I travel, and I was taking pictures of it. If I had my phone on me, I would show you pictures of Wisconsin on-ramps where I was like, oh, my God, it looks like a golf resort. It's so green. There's nothing. The hardscaping looked great. The softscaping looked great. The landscaping looked great. It all looked amazing, and that's all I do. All I did was hang my head out of the window like a golden retriever, wagging my tongue and marveling at how amazing the Wisconsin on-ramps were. And poor Chris, who has to travel with me, always just hears me go, look at that on-ramp. Look at it. Why can't we do these on-ramps? Like, I would... If this was my daughter, she would have an eating disorder because all I do is, why can't you be like Wisconsin? They got their shit together over there. I also then saw a truck that was driving on the on-ramp where the entire side of the truck had been eaten by rust. And I thought, maybe California's not so bad because this guy, it was like one of those cartoons where the guy lives in a log cabin and the termites just buzz through it and it falls, and before you know, they eat his stool and he falls on the ground. You guys got a rust problem over there in Wisconsin, because I was driving next to a guy in a Dodge truck and the whole side of the truck was literally gone. It looked like one of those models, like, here's the cutaway so you can actually see how the driveline works. Like, I was like, wow, I can see the pistons going up and down in the engine block because rust had eaten through. I can see the transmission gears turning. I saw the differential. It's like this guy's entire truck had been devoured by rust. I guess the great Neil Young had it right in that rust never sleeps. All right, Dr. Fauci? All right, we got Dr. Fauci, and then we'll go with car paint. But that could have been inspired by my rust. Yes. Fauci. I was watching Fauci on... He was trending today, right? Because Jim Jordan was saying to him, hey, Fauci, what's going on with the COVID-19? What should we avoid? And he's like, you got to avoid crowds. You got to avoid going outside. You got to avoid going outside in a crowd. And Jim Jordan's like, oh, okay, so what's your thoughts about protesters? And he's like, no problemo. And he's like, well, wait a minute. I thought being in a crowd was a bad thing. And he's like, look, being in a crowd is a bad thing. Then he goes, so do you want to outlaw protesting? And he goes, just being in a crowd is a bad thing. And Jim Jordan kept pushing him, and he kept going, but is protesting, do you want to outlaw protesting? And Fauci wouldn't say a fucking word about protesters. And that's when I realized, oh, we jumped the shark. And here's the thing. I don't want to go full political, but everyone has a fucking agenda now. Everyone has an agenda. And Fauci not saying, yes, protesting is bad. Well, what Fauci did is Fauci goes, being outside and being in a group is bad. And then Jordan said, so you'll condemn protesting, and he wouldn't condemn protesting, which means Fauci jumped the shark, and I no longer have to listen to what that fucking guy says anymore. Because he showed his hand. If he was consistent, if we were just, and fuck all these guys, we're following the science, just follow the science. All right, Fauci, just follow the science. You condemned being outside in large groups. So condemn protesters, because I'm doing your own, you just do your own math. You condemned it. Now you condemn being outside in large groups. Let me explain what a protest is. It's being outside in a large group. Have you ever seen a three-person protest where everyone was just spread out? No. And if you did, you didn't recognize it, because you can't recognize a spread-out, sparse protest. So Fauci would not condemn protesters. And listen, I don't care. I just got on a plane and came to Texas. I'm not wearing a mask. Like, I don't, if you want to protest, protest. I'm just saying, spare me your fucking lectures. I don't want to hear it. Don't fucking give me the lectures about you can't go to the beach and, you know, you can't, what if you lay down on the beach and you can't go on the boardwalk and you can't go into the gym. I came to fucking Texas for a second time to get a haircut. I live in Los Angeles. I cannot get a haircut in Los Angeles. I am going to get a haircut tomorrow for the second time. I came to Houston 6 weeks ago to get a haircut. And I'm now coming to San Antonio to get my second haircut. But all I'm saying is okay, I can't go to a Fantastic Sam's in Burbank, and the beach is closed, and I can't go to a church, not that I was going anyway, just trying to score some religious points. I can't go to a bar, I can't go to a movie theater, I can't walk on the beach, and I can't walk on the boardwalk. Fine, you've condemned it all. But protesting, that's everyone's right? Fuck you. I'm not listening to you anymore. You're not being consistent. That's what I'm saying. This is the parent smoking a cigarette telling you candy's bad for you. I'm not listening, Pops. So Fauci, have fun, but you've made it onto my bullshit list. You made it onto the list of people who have now politicized this thing, and there was a way to do it. You could have said going outdoors and being in a group is dangerous, and if protesting means going outdoors and being in a group, then of course I'm against it, because I'm being consistent. But now I understand what you're doing, and I get it. But also understand, I don't have to listen to you anymore, because everything's being pushed through a political filter with you. All right, let's do one more. I don't want to do... What? Remodeling a what? Remodeling while married. You've probably been through this. Here's the beauty of being... of remodeling while married, which that's all I've done. All I do is remodel shit. I'm a remodeling machine. there's a doppelganger of me back in Los Angeles hanging drywall right now so my wife won't get suspicious and know where I've left the house. It's all I do is remodel shit. And the problem is when all you do is remodel shit, then the woman you live with thinks that's what you love to do, so she doesn't understand how hard you work at it, so she never fucking appreciates it. And so you're in there. I remember I was putting down epoxy flooring shit. I was like rolling on epoxy flooring for an entire day, like 10 hours of putting on epoxy flooring. And at some point at the end of the day, my wife comes walking in and goes, after getting her fucking cuticles pushed and eating at the Panda Express, she comes like walking in and she goes like, oh, it smells. Right, it smells like epoxy because I've been fucking rolling out epoxy for 10 hours and, oh, the kids. Something with the kids and the way it smells. We're going to go watch pay-per-view in the other room and shut the door because it smells in here. It smells like progress, bitch. That's what I'm saying. It smells like victory. Yes. And I would say by the same token, for the guys who just do the remodeling constantly, and also, let's be consistent. If you're going to complain all fucking day about the remodel, soon as the paint's dried, you're not allowed to flop in the room and watch TV that I've been remodeling all fucking week, right? My wife and kids are like, oh, what's always something going on? I built a theater in my house. They were complaining about the theater for 3 months. As soon as the theater was done, they're all fucking sitting in it watching movies. But I guess, so it's like, guys, let me explain something. People say to me all the time, you like remodeling. I don't like remodeling. I do remodeling. I like a blowjob and lasagna. I want to get a blowjob. I want to get a helmet plate. I want to get a plate with a chin strap on it. Trying to work this one out. That's what I want to do. I'm going to watch SportsCenter, put the helmet plate on, get a blowjob, and eat lasagna while I'm watching SportsCenter. That's what I want to do. But what's best for the families, I do the remod. And speaking of lasagna, we should give women a little credit too, because guys, it's a two-way street. We come into the kitchen, we go, oh, she loves making food. And then we walk into the next thing. She doesn't love it. She's doing it for family, and it's satisfying to her. So you should say thank you for the lasagna, and she should say thank you for the remod. Thank you. Oh, I got one more spot here, don't I? Oh, well, speaking of remods, JB Weld. That's what I want to say. You got your DIY projects out there? I would suggest JB Weld. I like a two-part epoxy. Well, actually, I think all epoxy is two-part, right? This guy runs a collision center in Houston, so he knows. He's a tech rep, but he knows. He knows the A and the B. He knows epoxy. And also they do a super weld, which is a quick glue weld as well. JB Weld, I know these guys. I ran into them at SEMA when I was there for the automotive thing. And they're good dudes. They've been around for over 50 years. And they don't just glue it. They JB Weld it. And by the way, ordinary household glue starts with the word ordinary. You need something better. You need JB Weld. It's available at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, and Michaels. It is JB Weld. Hey, I want to thank you guys for coming out tonight. I appreciate that. I want to thank Ben Shapiro for joining us tonight. I want to thank Teresa Strasser. I want to thank Bald Brian. I want to thank Dawson and Chris Loxamana. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
I told you it was going to be a good show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Share it with your friends. And last but not least, JB Weld. They're the proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. Trusted for over 50 years and available at jbweld.com. Retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, and Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. JB Weld.